All right, welcome back, Anti-Shufflers. We're back with a new episode this week. It's going to be a good one. As you can see, my buddy here, Abdullah, he's holding a can of what is it called?
It's the best soda beverage in the market, Mansoor.
Absolutely,
it is. Kinza. I'm so happy and very excited about today's episode while I'm enjoying my refreshing beverage, Kinza, the lemon flavor Kinza. It is so wonderful and tasty and available at your nearest supermarket.
Tamimi, we're not sellouts. We're
Panda,
not total sellouts.
Danube and your local Begala. Please go pick up a can of refreshing Kinza. This one is lemon and it's my favorite. Thank you. How are you today?
It will get you through the hot days of summer for sure.
Through the heat. Yeah, of course, through the heat. Through this podcast, through whatever. It's tasty.
Absolutely.
Mm. Wonderful.
And our show this week is just as good as Kinza.
Topical.
Yep. We've got a good one for you. We've got news from the local scene. We're going to talk about bands like Sound of Ruby, Strangers, and we're also going to be talking about new music, what we've been listening to from bands like King Gizzard, Unmuted, Teeth, Barbarian Hermit, and Cypher, and many others. And our highlights for the week. And we're also going to talk about our main topic, which you guys were so kind enough to participate. And it's, do metal artists need mass exposure to gain new audiences? So it's going to be a good one. But let's go into the news.
All right, the news. All right, so don't have a lot. We're going to try to get through these quickly because we have a lot to talk about this week. But yeah, so it's really interesting that this past week, actually, I've been seeing a lot of news coming, like local news outlets like Sharq al-Awsat and or Middle East, yani local news outlets like Sharq al-Awsat, like Arab News. They've been covering, to a certain extent, a lot of the, well, I mean, I don't know, I say a lot, but it's like there are two pieces of news that are covering like the alternative and local scene here. So They have this like expose, this little piece on Sound of Ruby, you know, أقدم فرقة rock في السعودية برصيد 70 أغنية, and how like they've been going at it for a long time, their influences, it mentions here Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and Alice in Chains. Yeah, it's just really nice to see, mainstream or major news outlets talking about the local scene. And then in the next one here, in Arab News, they covered Strangers recently had a gig in Khobar in Bohemia Cafe. Mm-hmm. And Arkan Blues Experience opened for them. It was nice to see also that they've covered that. So it's just really cool to see that the news is covering like, you know, what's happening in terms of the music scene and the local music scene and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's well deserved too. I mean, those two bands are great at what they do. Sound of Ruby are veterans of the scene. They earn that kind of exposure, and rightly so. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, as you said, they've been at it for a while. And on top of that, of course, most importantly, they have good songs. They make good music. So hats off to them. And Strangers, they played a gig in Shergia, and I've seen them live before. Of course, you've had the pleasure of working with them.
Full disclosure, I'm working with Strangers. I should have said that in the beginning. Full disclosure, I'm working with them.
Sorry, is this like a spoiler alert?
No, it's not. But like, I should have, like, what I'm saying is that I should have said that, I'm working on producing their new album so that like I don't sound like I'm biased or anything like that, you know?
No, it's totally cool. I mean, we've seen them play live before here, and they put on great show. So if they're in your town, do check them out. So absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's the scene is definitely getting it's
more
due.
Attention.
You know, it's more attention. You know, more coverage. And let's hope it goes on.
It continues.
Grows from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the local scene, there was I just wanted to mention, like, this already happened. So recently in Bahrain, the Bahrain Metal Fest took place, and they had a headliner, Heathen. I don't know if are you familiar with this thrash metal band outfit?
Yeah, Heathen is a pretty well-known band. They're one of the, I guess, pioneers of thrash back in the 80s and the early, maybe they're, I think they're from the Bay Area. I'm sorry if I'm not, if I'm mistaken here, but yeah, they are part of that scene from with like Metallica and Exodus and I think Testament and all those bands that came from that sort of scene.
I believe so. That's so, yeah, pretty because, cool. Because they're like they're well respected. Apparently, I haven't heard of them honestly. But then again, I'm not the biggest thrash metal fan. I mean, it goes as far as Testament and like Metallica, and you probably, you know, that's it for me. I'm not sure what other thrash metal bands I'm into, but yeah, it's just really cool to see them invite like these big names, regardless of how, you know, whatever, they're old school and legendary or whatever. But it's like, it's really cool to see like, you know, big, well-respected names come to the local scene in Bahrain here. They played with another band called Schizophrenia. A local Bahraini band opened for them called Militia, Metal Militia. So that's cool. I mean, it's really, and this is not the first gig. It happened, there was a couple of gigs that happened as well in Bahrain where, you know, they got people from different parts of the world to come and perform. So that's really nice. And it's really cool to see. And hopefully like we'll start seeing like more contemporary and modern heavy hitters start coming to this region as well, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All
right. I think that's it for the news. Let's try to get into the music. So what has been in your ear hole recently, Mansoor?
Well, the new King Gizzard. Apparently, they have a new... I think we're going to be reviewing a lot of their music. I mean, these guys release at least two albums every year.
Fadin, man, they don't have anything else to do.
Sorry, their latest album, this Flight B741, came out. I've been listening to it since it came out. It's an interesting album. It's kind of bluesy and has that bluesy classic rock feel to it. It's more uplifting and has that kind of quirky kind of quality of King Gizzard. It has more of their kind of quirky and silly side. But I feel like musically, though, they didn't push too many boundaries because it sounded so familiar. But at least in the vocals department, we're seeing more of the band, more band members participate.
So
in that sense, it was interesting, but it's a good listen. It's not their best work, to be honest, but it's a nice listen nonetheless.
When I listened to that, I was really excited when I saw the recent new album. Obviously, you know, King Gizzard, very experimental. Like every album is almost like a different sound. I wasn't particularly into this album because, you know, I don't know. I'm not really into that old school, like 60s, 70s style of rock, you know, like it's a love letter to that era of rock. And not just because of the way it sounds and the recording, like, I mean, all their recordings sound like they've been recorded through a tape machine, but this is definitely like a old school rock, like 60s, 70s kind of era with a little bit of, like you mentioned, like a little bit of blues, a little bit of like that twang, that feeling of like, I don't know, like think bands like Fleetwood Mac for some reason came to mind. Maybe like even other bands from that same era, you know. But yeah, I'm not into it. But if you're into that style, into that old school style, yeah, it might be worth checking out. But definitely check out all their other records. Like they have such great like discography of music to listen to.
Awesome. I agree with you there. We got Zombie Direct Inject. Zombie is a prog rock duo that uses a lot of like synth instrumentation. So it's very much the music is very much inspired by like 80s horror soundtracks. from like John Carpenter movies and things like that. So yeah, it's like a prog rock mixed with dark wave and synth wave, and it's instrumental music, so no vocals. Yeah. But these guys are signed to a metal label, which I find odd because it's not very metal. But it's you know, I think it could appeal to metal fans, hard rock and metal fans. But the music is very dark and haunting, and it's cool. Like it's a nice kind of listen. You know, it's, my favorite tracks are Kimichi and Sandy, Post Atomic Horror, which has an awesome riff. Insurmountable Odds, those are some of my favorite songs. And the song, they do experiment a bit here and there, like the song Sessual, I think that's what it's called. It has like a jazzy touch with like sax in it in the intro. So yeah, that's a cool band. Do check them out. And their music has become darker over the years, so that's an interesting development to notice.
Yeah, it's interesting. I heard it. I honestly couldn't get into it. It's like I'm immediately like the synth wave and the synth like sounds were like a bit too. I mean, it would have. I think it would fit in a movie soundtrack probably, but like it's not something I would actively listen to. You know.
Yeah, fair enough. The other band I'm listening to, I came across, is a band called Barbarian Hermit. it's yeah, it's a good album. It's called Mean Sugar. It came out recently. It's this is more of a kind of a sludgy
band.
Yeah, more in the vein of they're pretty. I think they're a brand new band. Their music is more in the vein of bands like Red Fang, maybe Clutch, with some kind of some grungy influences as well. I really like this album, to be honest. Lots of cool riffs.
Title track is cool. Mean Sugar is like an interesting track.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, there's a touch of humor. A song called I think Who Put 50p in You. They're an English band, I think. English or British, or you know, they have that kind of attitude to them. And
not taking themselves too seriously, obviously.
Not at all. There is, I felt like it in some songs, there is like a Mastodon influence as well.
It's because of the sludginess. Vocals. Like the Mastodon tend to get a bit sludgy, like even in their earlier work, you know, you can hear that. But I'm actually really looking forward to this next album that you've been listening to, or the last. I mean, they didn't release anything new, right? King Buffalo, they didn't release anything new. But dude, when I saw that name on your list, I went back to listen to them. I forgot how amazing this band is. So good. They're so good. I really like them. Coincidentally, they remind me of the band that the shirt that you're wearing today, like Elder. You know,
Elder?
They kind of remind me a little bit of, you know, some of their more like ambient and more like instrumentally kind of airy sounding and emotive kind of tracks. Remind me definitely of Elder.
Yeah, there's definitely like you know, similarities there. I mean, King Buffalo, I've been listening to a lot of their music. It's not just one album, or it's like I'm just on a King Buffalo kick. That band's music, they've been consistently good since they came out. Their best album, in my opinion, is called Acheron. It's a 4-song album, but it's like 40 minutes.
It's the one with the blue cover, right?
No, it's the one with the purple kind of cover with the with the kind of a girl in like submerged in water or something. That album is just great from start to finish. But if I were to recommend an EP, I think it's the one you're referring to, which is called Repeater. That one was just fantastic. I think it's a great intro to King Buffalo. So check them out.
For sure. Yeah. So I've been, you know, speaking of like being on a roll of listening. So last week I told you I was listening to a lot of like death metal, like modern death metal bands that sound like, I'm still like listening to Tomb Mold. I'm still listening to like a lot of these bands. But especially like this week, I've got like Teeth there's a band called Teeth. Okay, so that's what's interesting is that we've covered Teeth in the past, but not this Teeth. There's two bands that are called Teeth apparently, and and the ones that we've covered in the past was like one of your like typical like I don't know metalcore bands, like I don't know nothing special about them, but this band is different. This band is great. So this band is more obviously like they're more death metal and they're more modern, right? They're like a good modern example of a death metal band. Very catchy, very like heavy and really great sounding. They just released like a new single called Blight, and I think they have an album coming out the end of this month. And I had the pleasure of seeing this band live actually once at St. Vitus. So that's nice. At that point, like, you know, they were still like, they didn't have a new album. Like they've only been touring, like supporting that 2019 album they had, but yeah, definitely worth checking out. Really heavy.
Heavy.
Yeah, it's super heavy. But super groovy as well. And like there are some interesting parts that are very heavy and catchy and really cool. Building on that, I discovered recently a band called Last 10 Seconds of Life. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I have never heard of this band before, but like apparently they have an album that came out in this year called No Name Graves. And I really like this band. Because they are a good example of what a deathcore band should sound like, for me, at least. I don't know. Like, I always hear this term deathcore being thrown around, and there are bands, like, these new bands that are called deathcore. And they all just sound the same to me, and they all, like, rely on, like, breakdowns, like, just, like, doing these chugga-chugga breakdowns and, like, breakdown songs that just consist of breakdown after breakdown after breakdown, which is fine, but it's just boring. But this band really does a good job of like showcasing how you can mix death metal elements with hardcore elements. Songs are slowed down a little bit, but the drums are super technical and, you know, they go really fast and hard. So like there's that interesting element of the composition that works really well and they do it really well. Obviously the vocals as well. So definitely worth checking out. Really heavy band as well. Really like this particular album as well.
I like this. It's a good album. It felt kind of samey in some parts, but overall, I thought the most interesting parts to me were the lead guitar parts, the guitar solos.
Yeah,
they're just fantastic. I mean, if you know, that's the thing that stuck out the most to me, and so it's worth listening to in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Then, you know, in terms of the international scene, I guess the last thing I've been listening to, this band I also discovered recently, I think a month ago or something like that. They're called Mortality Rate. Just really good, like hardcore, chainsaw tone. Like one, like I, if you know me, like you've probably heard me say this a million times, chainsaw tones. Like, so like that nail sound, that fuming mouth sound. That, you know, Fuming Mouth guitar tone. Entombed is another band that does this as well. Rotten Sound, like they have that sound, but like more leaning towards hardcore rather than like grindcore and stuff like that. So a really cool band, really worth checking out for sure. Definitely if you're into that kind of music. Did you check them out? Did you listen to them?
Yeah, I did. Pretty interesting. You know, the vocals are very ferocious. You know, that's the thing that's stuck out to me the most. Interesting guitar work. I need to really give them a few more listens, to be honest. But I dig the vocals a lot. It's I don't know what the vocal's name is, but she's pretty intense.
She's pretty aggressive. Yeah, she's pretty intense. Yeah, and this is something I've been noticing. Also like builds to the highlight of the album highlights from my album highlights for this week. Is another hardcore band that's like with the female vocals. Like there's so many bands with female fronted vocals right now in the hardcore scene. It's very interesting that there's like they found like a home there, you know. Anyways, we'll talk about that maybe later. I just want to wrap this up very quickly because there was like a bunch of local releases as well that I feel like we should highlight and talk about. So one of the most active members of the scene, Unmuted, based out of Dubai. He just released a new song, a new single. He's been very active releasing singles and stuff like that. In the past, he's collaborated with the vocalist from Chimera on a single. This time, he just released a song called Stop Me. It's a very cool modern sounding metal song. You know, if you're into like gated sounding guitars that go chug 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 chug, chug like that, then you'll be right at home. You'll really like it and enjoy it. You know, again, high production values again and stuff like that. So it's just really cool.
It's just the vocalist from what's the band? Svengali.
Adnan. Adnan is the vocalist of Svengali. Oh, and yeah, actually, this song was there's another vocalist, the clean vocals, and the production on this was done by the singer from the also like another metalcore band that's based in Dubai. Anyways, I'll look it up now while we're moving along, and I'll bring it back. But yeah, anyways, that's a song is collaboration with him as well. There's an interesting band. I don't know if did you hear Severed Limb Quartet?
Yeah, this is the first time I hear him. I don't know if I can formulate an opinion on them. I have to delve deeper into their work.
Yeah, I mean, but what's interesting to me is that this band just came out of nowhere. They added me on Instagram, and I tried to find as much information as possible about them, but nothing. I don't know who the members are. I don't know if they've ever played live. I don't know anything. But and you know they're still new, I guess. So there's not a lot of following on Instagram or anything like that. But the song is intense. The song, production wise, and like execution wise, it's really well done. It's well polished, and they do a really good job of mixing like mathcore elements with like, I guess you know you can say like I don't know I guess modern, yeah, hardcore metal. Modern like. Tech death elements. In any case, like it's obvious that these guys are big fans of a band called Sixth. I know for a fact if I ask them that, I'm sure they'll say yeah, they love Sixth. In addition to any like maybe any other like death metal and metalcore bands, modern metalcore bands, because they do a really good job of doing like this mathy, proggy stuff. Very technical, very well executed, and it'd be interesting to see more of them and maybe see how if they're going to perform live or anything like that. It's really cool.
Where are they from? Where are they based?
In Dubai. Well, according to the Instagram, it seems like Dubai. It seems like they are based in Dubai.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. I think let's leave it at that. I think that there's a couple of other releases, but I want to move on now to the highlights just because of where we need to be aware of our time here. So, Mansoor, tell me a little bit about your highlight of the week. Very interesting throwback. For me, honestly, it's nice to see that name again, but, you know, wishing in better circumstances, honestly.
So, yeah, my selection for this week.
Here he is. He just stepped on it. He stumped his toe on a table leg or something.
Oh, yeah. There he is, indeed. It's Burton Seabell, former Fear Factory vocalist. You know, I'm not going to go into what happened with all the drama with Fear Factory, but, you know, he left the band. He's doing his own thing now under his own name. It's his solo project, and he's so far released two songs out of, you know, I think that's his approach now is to only release singles. He said he doesn't want to release an album. He's going to be dropping singles every now and then. And, he released this new one called Technical Exorcism, and I've been listening to it a lot. I love it. You know, I thought the first single was also great, Anti-Droid. But this one is even better. You know, it's very much of a, I'd say, a post-punk kind of metal song. And, you know, if you're into Fear Factory, you'll definitely like this. But this has more of like a kind of a Killing Joke influence. I think even the drummer for Killing Joke plays on this one, and I'm a huge fan of Killing Joke. So this song is like, yeah, it's just great. It hits the spot. It's You know, Burton showcases here his clean and harsh vocal, you know, styles. You know, it's the one we've been kind of accustomed to with Fear Factory. So yeah, if I think, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing more of his solo work.
Can't wait. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I love his vocals, right? And of course, you know, I don't remember the last time I heard Fear Factory, but definitely a huge fan, like, of their earlier work and their work and stuff like that. I mean, very formative, like, and pioneering stuff. I couldn't get into this. Yeah. I don't know. There was, like, obviously you come from a background of liking the different elements that make up these songs. So you mentioned you're a big fan of Killing Joke and the drummer, so, and this, that type of sound. I'm a big fan of his vocals. I really like his vocals and his vocal style, but like, as I'm listening to it, I was just expecting to hear those syncopated, like, drums, it wasn't happening, you know. It's just like there was, like, this brain dissonance thing, this cognitive dissonance that was happening in my brain, where I was expecting to hear Fear Factory, but it wasn't happening, you know. Which is unfortunate, you know. Like, I hate to put an artist in a box and say, oh, he should just make music that sounds like that, or he should just stick to being in Fear Factory or anything like that. But I don't know, maybe it needed to be more different. It needed to be more, you know, maybe if he makes, like, a folk album or something like that, maybe, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't clicking with me. And dude, this artwork, come on.
Yeah, the artwork, dude, terrible. I mean, his whole thing is, you know, technology and the dangers of technology, but this looks like AI-generated nonsense. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this looks like, this looks like he found a recent, like, you know, graduate, graphic design graduate, and just, you know, yeah, it's just horrible. Yeah. It's not really good. But yeah, there it is. If you're a big fan of Fear Factory and you want to check out what Burton, the vocalist, has been up to, and you know, maybe, I mean, yeah, maybe you'll be different. Maybe you'll enjoy it because of you know, the vocals will kind of do it for you. But it just didn't do it for me. Let me talk about my highlight. So, Gel, a recent, is it just me or this, like, on Apple Music, the artwork is, like, doing some kind of movement here. It's doing movement,
yeah,
right?
Like, it's animated.
It's animating. Oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So, one more reason to go to Apple Music. Anyways, so the Gel, the hardcore punk outfit, I guess they're fairly new. They haven't been active for a while, or maybe they have been active for a while. I think they've released, like, a couple of EPs and albums. But yeah, they're recent band in the hardcore punk scene that has exploded in kind of popularity. They just released a 5 song EP, short and sweet, just, you know, 12 minutes of, you know, just to the walls kind of hardcore punk flavor, hardcore punk. If you're into bands like Spy, and you know that I'm into Spy, so we've talked about Spy before, so mm-hmm. bands like Spy, the other contemporaries like Scowl as well, if you're into that, they have that gulch sound as well, but maybe not as crusty sounding as gulch, mm-hmm. but they do have that kind of gulch kind of sound. Anyways, well produced, sounds great, very heavy as well. I love the vocals, love the guitar work. You know, again, but the, you know, it's a bit samey, but you know what, that's, you know, part of the power of listening to a hardcore punk album or song band. You know, some of the songs will sound kind of similar, but they're really good. It's really good, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, it has that kind of, you know, it's a hardcore album, so it is, you know, you have to expect the kind of sameness and all that. And but the thing that makes it acceptable is, you know, the short songs. You know, it's a quick listening experience. It's not, you know, which is fine. You know, we're used to listening to bands who make, like, 15-minute songs or whatever. So for us, it's not like, it's not a tedious experience. You know, you listen to the album and it's consistent and it's samey, but that's what it's meant to be, you know? Yeah. I like it in that sense. All this is it's the ethos of punk, you know what I mean? Like, so I appreciate it in that sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Persona is like my favorite song, I think, off of this album. Just really, really nice visceral sound. I mean, it says very visceral, maybe. But anyways, really, really visceral sounding vocals as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool. If you like this band, go check out bands like Scowl, like Spy, like Gulch. You'll probably enjoy them as well. I think that's it. Did we just finish? Yeah, I think we're done with our music segment. What do we say we move on to our... highlight of the week, the main topic of the week, where we're going to talk about this week. Yeah. All right, Mansoor. So what are we talking about this week?
So, recently, our topic is, do metal artists need mass exposure to gain new audiences? So metal, being kind of the underground genre that it is, it's very... a much, a niche genre. It's a specific, subculture or whatever that's into it. But, we've seen time and again when metal bands gain some kind of mass exposure through, some kind of other medium, it works in their favor in numbers-wise. So just to give you an example, a very recent example was... Gojira, who recently played during the opening ceremony of the Olympics. It says here in one of the articles that, thanks to this performance, the Gojira had their monthly listeners on Spotify went from 1.65 million straight to 2.73 million, just because of that kind of performance on the Olympics. So obviously, the Olympics being what it is, one of the biggest events in the world, they managed to gain a big audience thanks to that performance. And another example would be Metallica. I think 2 years ago in the last season of the show Stranger Things, the song Master of Puppets, was featured on one of the episodes, and they went, it made them, even more popular.
They've gone viral because of that appearance.
They've gone viral, and everybody was talking about it because it was also like a key episode. So much so to the point where some of the older fans were kind of gatekeeping. That Metallica hating on the new fans, the fake so-called fake fans who have just discovered Metallica through Stranger Things, and I think charts-wise, that song gained so many listeners thanks to Stranger Things, and it just comes to show that kind of mass exposure does make a difference, and remember that. That old, so it says here, Master of Puppets was downloaded 17.5 million times in the week after that episode of Stranger Things was released. So, those numbers don't lie. And it's so many examples. We've had remember Guitar Hero, those kind of video games, Grand Theft Auto always had that. Those radio stations. I don't know if you've ever played it, but
Grand Theft Auto, Need for Speed, Tony Hawk exposed a lot of people to punk music and Rage Against the Machine and I don't know, bands like that as well. Yeah, of course.
So yeah, all of these different examples, and now there's the news came out that Nine Inch Nails will provide the soundtrack to the next Tron movie. Which, previously Daft Punk did that for Tron 2, which was a great soundtrack, by the way. But yeah, it's interesting here because Or usually Trent Reznor and his musical partner Atticus Ross, they've made, you know, they've provided like soundtracks to many movies in the past, but never under the Nine Inch Nails moniker.
Yeah.
For Tron, it seems to be under the Nine Inch Nails name. Yeah. So
it was just Trent, like Trent being like the audio designer or like music, you know, music by Trent Reznor or something like that, you know, but like was never like Nine Inch Nails, you know.
Yeah. But so this is an interesting development.
So it's interesting. Yeah. And definitely it's it created like interesting conversations because, you know, again, like you mentioned, you know, like people who are into this alternative, like niche kind of underground music, like to hold the music in a higher regard and think of it as, you know, something that is more that you know, that's they own or that's part of them, part of their identity. So that's why people are more sensitive towards it, right? Toward when it starts getting mass audience appeal, and you know, they perceive it as it might affect their artist integrity and their, you know, the way they write the music and stuff like that. You know, I think I'd like to read some of the comments that we got. So yesterday I posted a story asking people to chime in on this topic, tell us whether they think metal bands and underground acts getting large audience kind of mass exposure is a good thing or a bad thing and why. So I'll read the first two comments here that I got, which is from Ellie Rocks and Faisal Benzegr, which they both kind of said the same thing. Ellie said, exposure is necessary and good because metal will always remain a niche genre. And then Faisal said, always a good thing when good music reaches a wider audience. Gatekeeping sucks. And he just put a thumbs down. And I tend to agree with them. You know, obviously, you know, I don't understand the concept of gatekeeping. I don't understand why it happens. You know, if you like a certain genre, if you like certain music, why are you against having other people get into it? You know, why is it such a terrible thing that more people will be into the music that you're into or the band that you're into? It's just it's a concept that I never got. It's, again, goes back to the fact that a lot of metalheads or a lot of metal fans or a lot of music fans in general, just music people, just, you know, have this thing where they the music becomes part of their identity and they just, you know, they end up gatekeeping or end up like, you know, just being, you know, terrible about having other people enjoy their music. You know, it's just weird.
Yeah, I mean, metal fans in general tend to be very territorial. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's yeah. I mean, sometimes I can feel that way myself, but honestly, I don't mind the exposure. You know, seeing Gojira perform in the, you know, during the Olympic ceremony, which was absolutely horrible, by the way. But just like that part of it to me just was like the highlight. And I,
yeah,
you know, it was, they did it with integrity and it was fun to watch. So there was no issues there. Like even the Metallica Stranger Things, you know, cameo or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it was... It made sense. I mean, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it made sense in the context of Stranger Things because of the character in that show who was supposedly like a metalhead or whatever.
I mean, the episode's been out for over several years, a million years now. It's okay if you spoil it. Nobody's going to come
spoiler
back.
Spoiler alert.
But yeah. But yeah, no, it's really cool. I mean, yeah, you get to see this a lot as well in subgenres where like hardcore as well. Like if you go onto the Reddit hardcore subreddit, it's terrible. It's a terrible place. And they're so upset by hardcore bands getting recognition now and being popular because I don't know, for some reason now hardcore is becoming popular. And I think it's thanks to bands like Knocked Loose who have broke into like the mainstream kind of, ended up performing at places like Coachella. So people start listening to them. They really like the sound. They really like it. So they start listening to other bands that are in the same genre and maybe in the hardcore. And you see them, a lot of them complain about, oh, you know, I went to the Terror show recently and it was just a lot of, you know, Gen, I don't know what, younger audience that didn't know how to, you know, crowd kill and mosh and they were afraid, you know, like it's just, it's a lot of like gatekeeping in a weird sense. In a weird way, like, don't you want your favorite bands to make a lot of money, like to make money so that they can focus on making good music, so that you don't have, they don't break up and you don't have to, you know, so that they can keep doing the thing that you love, which is produce really good records and really good music. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, but like, let's be honest, Metallica will always get hate no matter what they do at this stage. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Which builds, by the way, this, okay, so good thing you mentioned Metallica, because now the next comments that I got here was from Faris Rock, and Fahmy to a certain extent, but Faris Rock said, to be honest, some bands, when they get recognition or exposure, they become worse. I don't know why. And on the same kind of vein, kind of, actually, you know what, let's just, I'll tackle this point first. So a band like Metallica is a good example of this. And I agreed with Faris to a certain extent, but not to the, because again, what he's saying is very subjective. I mean, bands will change their sound when they get popular or whatever. And whether you like it or not is very subjective. But you can use Metallica as an example of this. I mean, you know, before the Black Album, before they hit that popularity and they started making the Black Album, Metallica were really like a thrash metal band, right? Like mm-hmm. Justice for All and Master of Puppets, Ride the Lightning. Those were, you know, even like if you're talking about Injustice for All, it's a pretty technical like thrash metal album. And Master of Puppets is one of my favorite albums of all time. That like album came out in 1982 or 1986, something like that. Anyways, and Mohammed, like even for back then, like that's a pretty like forward technical thrash metal album. Fast forward to the Black Album, and there's not an ounce of thrash in that album. Like if you go listen to it, it's really like a metal rock album with... I mean, it sounds great, right? It's a great sounding album with really great writing, and it has some most iconic songs as well. But that's not a thrash album, and they changed their sound. And then you can even go back, you can go down their discography and go to Load and Reload, and as they started getting more popularity and how they evolved and changed their sound. And it's up to you to decide whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But building also a kind of on that point is... Fahmy, who said Fahmy is like a really interesting. He's an interesting bassist, and he's in a couple of bands in Egypt, and also he has his own like project, solo project. Go check it out if you can. But sometimes he says sometimes it's bad because corporations can find new stuff to pile on it and make it terrible. And he uses kind of the example of, imagine if Gojira did did the Olympics and then did a Coca-Cola ad. Which is, I kind of agree, and I kind of agree with him to a certain extent. Like, you know, I want to see my favorite bands make money, but at the same time, I don't want them to peddle onto me like Coca-Cola products. You know, as they're like making their music, I don't want them to peddle onto me. And I brought in this example of if I don't know if you saw it in the link, but there's this hardcore band called Speed. And basically, mm-hmm. they did a Foot Locker ad where like they're promoting that like Foot Locker wanted to promote the new Nike Air Max, whatever. And mm-hmm. It's just like literally a hardcore show and a hardcore band promoting like the most corporate thing ever, Nike sneakers, you know? And yeah. It goes against the ethos of like the anti-corporate, anti-kind of establishment ethos of hardcore and punk. But am I upset by it? Not really, because Speed released like a really good hardcore album and like really pushed the genre a little bit forward as well with it. Like, remember, we heard it last week, right? And it's a great hardcore album. They didn't change their sound. But how do I feel about this? I don't know. Like, it's weird. It's kind of weird seeing it. But at the same time, as long as the sound is good and as long as they're making money and as long as they could keep making good music, I'm fine with it. Now, if Kinza sponsors us, though, I don't mind. All right. I don't have any issues with Kinza sponsor. Kinza is as underground as it gets. It's not Pepsi, which again brings me to the point of like, it depends on the sponsor, right? Like, you know, if the sponsor like stands with your, stands on the, they have the same kind of, let's say, moral compass as you, then yeah, fine, you know, go ahead, you know, like why not? But if it's like a corporate entity like Nike that really like, you know, who knows like what kind of, you know, practices that they're doing, you know, like it might not be like good to align yourself with them, you know?
Listen, man, I've seen many underground bands, thrash, hardcore, whatever bands, that have endorsed Monster energy drinks. You know what I mean?
Horrible.
It's you know, these are still like undergroundish bands. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And they've, I think they've, if I'm not mistaken, Monster did sponsor some, you know, metal festivals, hardcore festivals in the past.
They do. Yeah.
They do, right?
But then you have brands like, for example, have you heard of Liquid Death?
Yeah.
My موجود عندنا في السعودية. It doesn't exist in the Middle East. But Liquid Death is a water company. It's a water company that their entire branding is like very metal and very grotesque and very, you know, it's funny. It's tongue in cheek. Like it's not serious, but their ethos and their, like, the company is built on the idea that, you know, products should be sustainable, and their aluminum, the cans that they make their water in is like recyclable. And for every penny that you pay, that it goes to, I don't know what, some kind of recycling and sustainable environmental friendly initiatives and I don't know what. And they sponsor, you know, they sell water at the end of the day, flavored water, sparkling water and stuff like that. So it's not like something damaging for your body and health, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think Ozzy Osbourne was in
it. Did an ad with
him, yeah. Commercial. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really funny. That's a good example of like, and it's a multi-billion dollar company. It's a, well, I don't know if it's multi-billion. It's a billion dollar company now. Mm. So, yeah, and yes, it's a corporation and it's like a thing, but it's, you know, morally they're okay. It seems like they're okay. They're not like this gigantic corporation that's like doing bad things.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tricky thing though, because like,
it is.
On the one hand, of course, you don't want the band to be disingenuous about, you know, whatever they do, even if it's mass, they're trying to gain like some kind of mass exposure. I'm fine with a band doing, you know, whatever they need to do to gain new audiences, as long as it's done with, you know, some authenticity, it's done with, you know, some integrity, and, you know, those things there, you can tell which band is doing it for the money and which band isn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not like, let's say there's a gray area there, and at least the way I see it. But yeah, it comes down to that.
Yeah.
So, Rage Against the Machine with being signed to a major label is one example.
Yeah. That's a good one. Actually, Raising Machine is a kind of a weird, it's like, oh yeah, you know, you're a band that closed down the financial market because you did like this, you know, very interesting, like guerrilla music video that ended up shutting the financial market, but you're signed to a major label. And then fast forward a few years down the line, you're selling $400, $300 tickets to your show. You know what I mean?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, oh, dude. Like, yeah, before they, I think they, خلاص, they stopped, right? I think farewell show, and like before that, they did a couple of shows. The tickets were like $300, $400, like we to go watch Rage Against the Machine.
Oh wow!
It's concerts are more expensive. It's a big band as well. Like Rage Against the Machine is not a small band. It's I don't know. Like, isn't there like a way where you can stand by your, you know, by your whatever, like your rurals or whatever you want to call it. Anyways, let's we have two more comments here that I want to read before we wrap things up. Lemmy says, mass exposure is necessary for any band to evolve, in my opinion. It comes with the risk of the band completely changing their style, but that's not really a risk if you're more open to experimental music. More people listening to metal equals more shows, so why not? I don't know. I kind of agree with that. Again, it depends. It goes back to the point that we were saying about, like, you know, yeah, you know, like it's subjective. Bands changing and changing the way they sound because they're getting mass appeal and because they need to get mass appeal. You know, you might, like a good example of this is Bring Me the Horizon, for example. You know, they started off as a deathcore band like back in whatever, 20 years ago. And today, and their album and discography has been changing progressively, where they've been doing like metal, then they've been doing metalcore, then metal pop, then, you know, straight up some pop songs as well, some ambient experimental music. And then they're going back now. They did this album that they released recently where it's like a love letter to 90s, like, you know, emo, punk music and different types of... They're just going crazy. They're just doing whatever they want to do at this stage. And is that a bad thing? To some fans, yes, they might think it's bad. But to others, you know, they might enjoy it and they might like it. So, you know, it's completely subjective.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Last comment here that I'm going to read is from Mustafa, the guitarist from Strangers. He actually made a really cool point. I actually appreciated that from the perspective of an artist, right? So it's a bit of a long comment. So I'm just going to summarize what he said, which is that, you know, he said small bands need to grow. Oh, wait, why are you laughing?
Because it's typical Mustafa. Shout out to Mustafa. I love him. But the response was such a Mustafa response. But
anyway. Such a Mustafa response. Yeah. But in any case, his response basically was saying that small bands need to grow organically. And it's healthy for them to start off slow and grow slowly and find like the right audience and sculpt their sound and find the sound in order to get to find their audience. What he's saying is that, you know, Fej are getting like some kind of mass appeal and going viral and things like that might push bands to skip that kind of sophomoric, that kind of like stage in their career development where they need to find that sound and end up being, you know, whatever, like it might be unhealthy for them. They might end up doing something wrong with their sound or something to that effect. And at the end of the day, even he says like, you know, this is subjective, whether it's bad or good, if that happens, but that's like an interesting perspective. I thought it was interesting perspective from like an artist that's currently right now in a band that's also trying, you know, to develop themselves and find their sound as well and do that kind of stuff.
I mean, if you want to look at it from the perspective of, say, not just from an artistic perspective, but more from, let's say, the personal perspective. I mean, many bands have shot to fame so quickly and it just destroyed them. I mean, Nirvana is an example. I mean, of course, they it was their second album, of course, never mind that, you know, change the world. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Kurt Cobain and the rest is history. And we know the story. Many other bands who had experienced sudden fame, you know, it burnt them out. You know, it does tend to happen, but maybe in that sense. But from an artistic point of view, yeah, I there is some merit to what Mustafa is saying. I mean, bands, you know, it's maybe more healthy for a band to develop their sounds through the years and then, you know, find when the right time comes, you know, they'll gain the right audience and get the exposure they need.
Yeah, no, absolutely. At the end of the day, the point is, you know, as long as you're doing things with integrity, and as long as, you know, you're making, I don't know. I guess the point is at the end of the day, if you're doing something with integrity and that you're doing what you're doing because this is what you want to do, that's the key point there. Is that if you as an artist decide that you want to go from making grindcore music to rap metal or rap because it's something that you're passionate about and interested in, not just to appeal to someone or to appease a record label or appease a corporate sponsor or anything like that, then good for you. That's respect. But if it's everything that you're doing is to drive corporate sponsorship and to drive like some kind of audience and increase your number and traffic and Instagram numbers and social media and Madre and all of that, then I guess, you know, and it's not obvious, right? You can't really, you know, you can't really tell if someone is doing it for that or for that reason, but I guess it's something that's, you know, internal, right? It is intrinsic.
Unless it's Kinza, of course, which is the best beverage.
Unless it's Kinza. The most refreshing beverage in the market, available at every supermarket nearby. Near Absolutely. You. Panda, Tamimi, Danube. You know, I'm going to keep doing this every week. And if we don't get, Kinza, if you don't sponsor us, I'm going to move on to the nearest competitor. Okay. If you don't sponsor us, I'm going to go to the nearest competitor. I'm giving you free advertising here. The five listeners that we have are now going to go out and buy this refreshing lemon zero, zero sugar, by the way, zero sugar. So it's not going to make you fat. Zero sugar, soft drink beverage that is refreshing in this heat. And it's not going to, you know, increase your waistline. We need that sponsorship money.
Absolutely.
All right, Mansoor. I think that's it. That's a wrap for us today. Anything else? Anything else you want to add? Anything else you want to say before we end this episode?
No, thanks for listening. And thanks to everyone who, you know, decided to chip in with their comments. We really appreciate that. Stay tuned for next week.
Yeah. Tell us in the comments what you thought about our topic. You know, chime in. Do you? What do you think? Do you think that bands should get popular? Should not get popular? Should remain niche? Should remain underground? Is mass exposure good? Is it bad? Tell us. What do you think? Anyways, thank you for listening. My name is Abdullah Mozej. He is Mansoor. And we are your hosts of the Anti-Shuffle podcast. See you next week.